Christ is in our midst.
He is.
So to begin this homily today, I would like to do a little small activity. And you don't have to participate in this activity if you don't want to. But I would like to invite everyone to take just a small second and look around you. Look at every single person around you today. Take a look at everyone. Now, as you are finishing up this small task that I've invited you to do, I would like to say that as you looked around at each other today, it may have become rather evident that what we see or what we saw is that each of us is different in one way or another, and in some ways, many ways, right? Each of us has different interests. Each of us have different backgrounds. Each of us have different opinions. Each of us have different personalities, different ways of dressing, different hairstyles. And the list goes on and on and on and on. But despite these differences that we have, my brothers and sisters, we have one thing in common as Orthodox Christians that is more profound than the differences that we have as individual Orthodox Christians. Because you see, our salvation is not in any conventional human characteristic or endeavor that we may have, but it is found in the healing mercies of Christ. And when we approach Him, my friends, with the faith of a mustard seed, He will respond to us. And it is in today's gospel that we get a vivid account of this very thing. In today's gospel reading from St. Luke, we see two very, very different people come together in their common desire to seek out Christ. These two people were so very different from one another. They came and they approached Him in humble faith, and they received new life because of this faith. Now, one of these people, of which St. Luke gives us his name, was Jairus. Now, Jairus was a ruler of the synagogue. He was an upstanding man in Jewish society. He was held in high respect. He was loved by everyone. And then we have the second person of this gospel account. The second person of this lowly woman, who St. Luke does not even record her name to make a point of how lowly she was. She was disrespected. She was hated. She was nothing in Jewish society. And because of the issue of blood that she suffered from, she was an outcast, again, of Jewish society. She was considered unclean by the Jews. Now, these two people in today's gospel had absolutely nothing in common conventionally, right? They were two opposite ends of the spectrum. But, they did share one thing in common, my friends. They both, in faith, sought out our Lord and His great mercy. The Saint Theophylact, in his commentary on this passage, says of the woman, "She approached and she touched the border of His garment with the firm faith that if she could only touch His clothing, she would be made whole. And immediately the flow of blood stopped. Like a man who brings his eye close to a bright light, or brings a dry stick close to a fire, and they immediately react. So also the woman, brought her faith close to Him who has power to heal. And immediately she obtained healing. She gave no thought to anything else, neither the many years of her illness nor the failure of her doctors. She only believed and was made whole. Imitate her, and you will not miss the mark, St. Theophylact says. And as St. Theophylact says, we must follow her example in desiring nothing more than to touch the hem of His garment, of reaching out to Christ as best as we can, even as He did not embarrass or reject her, so He will not run away from us. He will respond graciously, as He always does, to humble, sincere people who come to Him with faith, with love, and repentance. And instead of us somehow making Him unclean, He will work through our faith to bring healing, mercy, and strength. Now, Jairus, the other person of this gospel account, he sought out Christ not for healing for himself, but for the healing of his daughter who was dying at home. Now, Jairus approached our Savior in a much different way than the woman did. Did y'all catch that from the gospel account? Unlike the woman who approached him in secret, he was able to approach him openly, asking for the healing of his daughter. But the thing is, his faith was put to a much different test than that of the woman. Because as he was speaking to our Lord, as we heard, a messenger came to him and told him that his daughter had died. Can you imagine the news of this? And then on top of that, what does our Lord say? He tells Jairus and the crowd that she is not dead, but only sleeping. And what does the crowd do? Upon hearing this, the crowd gathered around him erupts in ridicule of our Lord for this statement, right? Ridicules him for making this statement. But despite the ridicule of the crowd, Jairus somehow still believed the astonishing words of our Lord. What does our Lord say? Do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well. Now here we see exactly what I think I spoke about 2 weeks or so ago, where we see Christ calling someone, calling Jairus specifically in this gospel to not be afraid, to not fear, and to put his hope and his trust in Him. I can't imagine for a second how hard it must have been for Jairus to hear that his daughter had died. And here, our Lord, again, denied the obvious, that she was indeed dead. Jairus' faith in that very second was put to the test in that moment. But despite the obvious, he still had faith and he believed in Christ. And our Lord did as he promised because of his faith. He brought the daughter back from the dead. You see, yes, Jairus probably did experience great fear and doubt. He probably did experience those human emotions. But through all of that, he managed to have faith in God. And the same goes for the woman. Being an outcast from society, the lowest of the low, she too probably experienced great fear and trepidation. But she still chose to draw near and to seek out our Lord amongst her difficulties and through the throng of the people that had gathered around her. You see, the differences between Jairus and the bleeding woman are obvious in personality, in social standing, in reputation, but these were ultimately irrelevant for how they stood before the Lord, right? And I use the word stand, but in actuality, what did they do? They knelt before Christ. They knelt before our Lord and Savior. And they knelt before Him in humble faith. Human characteristics and differences are ultimately irrelevant for when it comes to how we stand or how we kneel before Christ and how we seek Him out with all the wounds and the sorrows of our lives, and we help one another bear those wounds and those sorrows of life. None of us, not a single one of us, is worthy or deserves anything from our Lord. But when we approach Him, as did the woman, and as did Jairus, with what faith we can muster, desiring, my friends, nothing more than to touch the hem of His garment, that He will extend His gracious love and mercy to us. So, my dear friends, as I conclude this homily, if we ever despair of the possibility of being healed and transformed by our merciful Savior, if we don't think that we can be saved, let us remember the woman who merely touched the hem of His garment and the man who somehow trusted that Christ could bring his daughter back to life. If we ever think that sin and death will have their last words about us, let us seek out the one who went to the cross, to the tomb, and Hades in order to bring us into the eternal joy of His resurrection. If we come to Him in humble faith, and we come to Him presenting all of our wounds for healing as best as we can, He will not send us away like He did not send Jairus or the woman away. But instead, He will heal our souls by His gracious mercy and make us already participants in His life eternal. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.